We come through His Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who's opened that way for us. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank You that we can gather together this morning to sing Your praise. Thank You that we can join with one another in this way and exalt Your name. Thank You that You do say, You have indeed sent Your Son to save us. You are our salvation. You rescue us. You help us. Lord, You are with us this morning as we give You our praise. Forgive our sins and shortcomings, Lord. May nothing hinder us from knowing a touch upon our lives as we gather together this morning. For those unable to be with us, Lord, perhaps some through the heat, Lord, are staying in. Others perhaps because of the heat are going out. But Lord, thank You that we can come here to You and that, Lord, You promise to meet with us. We ask for Your blessing upon our gathering together and upon the church as a whole as it meets. And as we reach this important stage as a country with regard to lockdown and freedoms from it, we do pray for wisdom and guidance, clear leadership, that we might be doing the right thing and not putting anyone or anything at risk, but going forward, worshipping You together. So bless and help those perhaps struggling at the moment, Lord, with health issues, whether COVID related or not. And Lord, grant, we pray, Your help, Your presence and Your peace. Lord, to all who seek You this morning, for those who do not know You and are troubled by what's going on, we think of the floods in Europe and other such events going on in our world, how overwhelming, how difficult. But thank You that You are the sovereign Lord. Thank You that we can reach out to You and we can know Your help, that You are in control of all things. May others come to know You, Lord Jesus, even this day, as the gospel is preached around the nations of the world. And may the glory, honour and praise be Yours in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. I was able, with the wonders of technology last Sunday evening, to listen to what you'd heard on Sunday morning. That was a real blessing to hear the Word of God so clearly put across to us. And it was a great encouragement to me, as you'll see from this psalm, because I want to think about prayer, our relationship with God in prayer. And of course, last week we were talking about that childlikeness that we need to have. And seeking help from the Lord is part of that. Psalm 28. To You I call, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if You remain silent, I will be like those who've gone down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to You for help, as I lift up my hands toward Your most holy place. Verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save Your people and bless Your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Oh, may the Lord bless the reading of His word. Before we turn to those words to look in more detail at them, let's just spend again a few moments of quiet. Our own reflective prayer, perhaps, just open our hearts to the Lord. What's on our hearts, what's in our minds of the week past, perhaps of the week ahead. But don't forget this special moment in the presence of the living God. Lord, You encourage us to be still and know that You are God. Forgive us that so often we do rush around. We miss the moments. Sometimes fear overwhelms us, worry, concern. Regret perhaps of what we should have done and failed to do. Lord, thank you for your mercy. We have sung of those mercies, of your amazing grace towards us. Thank you that you want to speak to us, as always, but especially through your word this morning as we gather together as your people. Guide us, direct us, and help us. Lord, it is a very warm day, a very warm morning even. So just refresh us physically and spiritually. Lord, for those unable to be here, Lord, may your word through the church at home notes speak into their lives. Thank you that you are at work amongst us in our world. Speak through your word, we pray, whether it's in big congregations or even to just individuals. Bow before you now. Help us, Lord, then, we pray. How we need you. We come with that childlikeness. We're depending upon you, Lord. We're trusting you. Help us. Help us all. In Jesus' name. Amen. The prophets of Baal cried out to their God, but there was no response. They increased the volume and the activity, but still nothing. Elijah mocked them. Was their God asleep? In fact, I think the Hebrew is a little stronger. Is your God on the toilet? I think is actually the rendering of it. Then Elijah sets up his altar to the Lord. Even after dousing it three times in water, Elijah's prayer was answered immediately with fire falling from heaven. So how is your prayer life? Do we see God responding like Elijah did? I think if we're honest, our experience perhaps is more like that of the prophets of Baal. But with one big difference. The Lord is definitely not asleep. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He promises us that. David wrote Psalm 28 to express his struggle with prayer. So be encouraged if this morning you come into that camp. In fact, I think that's all of us, to be honest, because even the people I've met in my life who are real prayer warriors are never happy, never content, always need to know the Lord more, always want to, you know, to seek him in a better way, to hear him more clearly. So it's something that we all struggle with. In this psalm, he reassures us that God does hear, even when at times we wonder if it is the case. The psalm highlights two important factors when thinking about prayer. And I want to look at those with you this morning and about how God answers prayer. The first thing I want to consider is the response of God. The response of God. I mean, why do we know times of delay? You do know that, don't you? When you pray for something and you don't see an answer immediately. I mean, time belongs to God. Don't forget that. But of course, there are other things going on. It's not just you. There are other things too. There are other factors at work. God's will in somebody else's life and situation may be part of the answer to your situation. God always answers prayer. Yes, he does. As we wait on the Lord, we will receive a response. It may, of course, be no. We may be out of line completely with his will. It may, yes, be yes. Let's never forget that. But of course, there is the answer of wait, for perhaps our timing is out. But for certain, we need to remind ourselves and underline this morning that God hears our prayers. He does not have a deaf ear. Anybody in here want to admit to perhaps occasionally having a deaf ear? You know when somebody's talking to you? You never do this. If it's something that you're interested in, you tune in. But if it's something that's not really what, you kind of tune out, a bit like a radio dial. And then you might be just not listening at all, and then suddenly you hear a key word and you're back in. It's only me then, is it? Selective hearing. Strange, certain couples are looking at each other. It's a part of married life, I think, as well, isn't it? But the Lord always hears. He chooses not to respond where there is sin. Let me just remind you of a few verses in Isaiah 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So there is a deafness of in a sense, but it's because of sin, because sin separates, doesn't it? If there's sin in a broken down relationship, the two parties go separate ways. It separates. You see it so visibly. And it's the same. God is a holy God. And where there's sin, it needs to be confessed and it needs to be removed. And thankfully, we have through the Lord Jesus, the one who took our sins upon himself at Calvary. There are many examples in the Old Testament where God's people chose their own way. And so God did not listen to the people's prayers. When Saul became the first king, he was chosen by the people, not by God. And yet we're told very clearly, because of that, the Lord did not intervene in the battles the people were in. God allowed them to learn the hardest of lessons by not intervening. But of course the story goes on about how David then became king. And other kings followed on afterwards. And when they followed in God's ways, oh, God answered their prayers in wonderful ways. But where there was sin, there was a breakdown in communication, a seeming deaf ear. Amazingly, though, and this is the grace of God, amazingly through God's grace, he sends his son Jesus to be placed in a position where God the Father rejects his cries on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Remember those words back in Psalm 22? It's a direct quote, and it goes on to say, oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. This is how the Son, the Lord Jesus, what he experienced, being cut off from the Father on the cross, so that you and I could know our sins forgiven, so that we can know our prayers in Jesus' name being heard. He hears by the grace of God, not because we get the words just in the right order, not just because they are, fantastic structure to prayer, or because they're short, or because they're long. Because of Jesus, our prayers, he hears. He hears our calls and our cries. In this psalm, I read it in two parts. Did you wonder why I missed the middle bit? We're not short of time. I could have read the middle. I will come to that in a moment. But I read it the way I did because at the beginning, hear my cry for mercy, says the psalmist. And then, praise be to the Lord, he has heard. He has heard my cry for mercy. What has happened in between? That's the bit I didn't read. Well, if you look at it, it's a bit negative. It's a bit about people who are getting away with doing wrong things, getting a bit of justice. Justice being seen to be done upon these people. So whether David suddenly sees that some who are doing evil things are getting their comeuppance a little bit, and it encourages him to say, the Lord has heard my cry. I don't know. But certainly justice from the injustice that's around him seems to encourage him. As I say, I didn't read it because in a way it just, you know, it just reminds us of the sin in men's hearts, the bad things that go on around us. And it's because of those things we're crying out to the Lord anyway. But as I thought about justice from the injustice, I was taken back to Calvary. The greatest injustice ever carried out on planet Earth brought about justice for you and for me and our sins. That's at the heart. That's why I can cry out and know that he's heard my cry because of what Jesus went through. So though it's a central part to the psalm, you know, it's, I guess, a shadow of looking to Calvary for you and for me. Justice from the injustice of that situation. But in this psalm, as with so many, David hits the note of praise. It's an important part of prayer, isn't it? I've been challenged by this personally recently. You know, often I will start to pray and straight away I'm almost asking for this, that and the other. And that's just not right. Praising God for who he is and what he's done not only encourages your faith then to go on and ask, but it's right that he should have that important position of praise, that he should take that place. It's the important part. We need to remind ourselves how great a God we have. When we exalt the Lord, our hearts and faith are lifted too. There are things for us to look back upon and remember what the Lord has done in the past to spur us on for the future. If I look a little bit brown, it's because I've been on holiday. If I look a little bit stressed, it's because I've been living for the last week with a child who's nearly three and a child who's one. Doing granddad jobs on a holiday. And as I say, I heard the message from last Sunday morning here, last Sunday evening, when I just had to take half an hour's break from it all. And I heard David speak on how to be childlike is to receive, to trust and to wonder. He put it the other way around. We lose trust, we lose what we receive, and we lose the wonder if we are not childlike. As I say, this week I've seen in these little ones, dependence, how that can work out in practice. How there's certain things that you can't do as a small child. You need to receive. You know, occasionally they will ask, but sometimes you just have to step in and help them. And that's how God is with us. Sometimes we do ask, but sometimes he just steps in anyway to help us. He trusts. We need to trust, and little children do. They trust you with their lives. And again, when the Lord gives, or when he perhaps delays giving in a certain way, we need to continue to trust. And also that sense of wonder, you know, that the children have in adults, in parents, in grandparents. But I did notice as well this week already, even at such tender ages, an independent streak developing. Now, I guess in children it's character forming, it's part of who they are. But, you know, when a child will not ask for help, when a child would rather, you know, cry their eyes out than receive the help, it's so sad to see. And I think as God's children, through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, are we so quick to receive? You know, you have not because you ask not, the Bible says. Are we sometimes, you know, full of that spirit of independence that's around in the world, even in our church life? That we'll do it our way and we'll do, you know, rather than the Lord's way. Well, I trust not, because he hears our call. He hears our cry. God hears and God helps. He is our rock and he is my strength and my shield, says the psalmist. Yes, there are times when he takes us out of a situation wonderfully, a great deliverance, like when he took the Israelites out of Egypt. But then there are times when he takes us through a situation too. And again, those same Israelites then wandered in a wilderness. Yes, I know, through their own lack of faith and sin for 40 years, it could have been a lot shorter than that. But again, God did not just lift them up by the hair and drop them into the promised land. There was a progression. There was a journey to take with him, though it shouldn't have been that long. He strengthens his people. He shields his people. He's their fortress, a fortress of salvation. The constant challenge for God's people is to trust the help that God offered to them. When others came along and said, that's not going to be good enough, you need more help than that. No, we have what we need in the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. That's how the Christian life begins. We run to Jesus and we know salvation through what he has done. He's our strong tower. We continue to run to him in situations that we face because he hears and he helps. But this psalm says a little bit more. It doesn't just say God responds and hears. It does say that. But it talks about our relationship with God. The response of God and the relationship with God. And David has time to reflect upon that in the circumstances that he's going through. You know this, but let me just remind you. God is not some celestial vending machine where you just push the buttons and you get what you want dropping out. I hope you don't think that. Sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, will you pray for this for me? And I'm happy to pray for anything and for anyone, don't get me wrong, but actually you could pray yourself with the same effect. It's not that David and I somehow have the code to press the vending buttons for something to drop out for you. It's about developing our relationship with the Lord. We've been made in his image. Why? For fellowship and relationship with him. Now think about your friends. Think about the relationships you have. How and why did they develop? Let me guess. You met somebody, you spoke with them. You listened to them, you spent time together, and you got to know each other. That's how all relationships begin and go on and grow. Well, it's the same with the Lord, isn't it? He mercifully, graciously opens the way for us through faith in Jesus to know him. And then we talk the first few words of prayer, and we listen to his word, and through talking and listening, we get to know his ways. He gets to know our ways. Well, he knew them anyway. But we grow and the relationship grows. The promptings of the Holy Spirit through his word grow. We're more aware of him in our lives, in our workplace, in our community, wherever we go. He wants the best for you and for me. Making us stronger, making us more like the Lord Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit. We sometimes sing, don't we, that chorus, "Come Holy Spirit, I need you." And that was floating around my office, and I was just reading through the words just as a prayer, really. And come as a wisdom to children. Come as new sight to the blind. Come as strength to my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Thank you for the motorbike going past. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Do you just note the intimacy of that line? I mean, you would put that, you know, just before you got married for these couples, all right? Body, soul, and mind. Everything is it's your. That's the intimacy. That's the level we're talking about that the Holy Spirit wants to draw from our hearts to our God. The God who hears, the God who helps, the God who also hopes to deepen that relationship, that work in our hearts. In Psalm 28, there are two verses that speak about the heart. My heart, says the psalmist, trusts in him, and I am helped. A trusting heart. I wonder this morning, you got a trusting heart? The Lord will help you through as you keep trusting him. Yes, there are times when we cannot trace and we just have to trust. In the Church at Home notes, I mentioned Habakkuk chapter 3. There was the prophet looking upon a barren harvest. The future days seem bleak for God's people. Yet he would rejoice in the Lord. He would yet see through to what the Lord was doing. What a challenge to every Christian to keep trusting, even in these days in which we're living. We don't understand. We've heard it from the front. We're not holding anything back from you. We can't comprehend the magnitude of COVID and all that, what's going on. But I do know God is sovereign in it all. And I do know that God has promised to bring us through his people and gather us up even and take us to be with him in the end. So whatever this shaking is, whatever this unsettling time may be, we can keep and must keep trusting, setting things straight for the world to see that there is a different way to the course that they're on. God wants you to trust him with all your heart, for he is worthy of praise. But the second verse in this psalm about the heart, my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. I was challenged in preparing this. I prepared this 2 weeks ago before I went away. Still challenged by the same thing. When was the last time your heart leapt for joy? Was it in a prayer meeting? Was it in your time spent with the Lord? Oh, my heart jumped for joy when England scored a goal. When England won at cricket, when this happened, when that happened. When I saw family and friends. These are all good things. But the setting here, my heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him. To him. Circumstances may be challenging, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. On the good days, on the bad days, too. Rejoice again and again in our relationship with him, what he has done for us. And with that in mind, I conclude just by looking at that final verse. Because as part of this relationship with our hearts rejoicing in the Lord, we can know a security in whatever's going on. Save your people, bless your inheritance, be their shepherd and carry them forever. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved to the uttermost, says Hebrews. To the uttermost. Last Sunday morning, I was in Sheffield, and I went to a church that's been planted, and it's in a factory, industrial chic, I think you call it. It's somebody from who Ben and Sally know in Oxford. A small team have gone out and set a church up in Sheffield city centre. And so we turned up for this service. It wasn't really much like our service, to be fair, but one thing that I did get from it was he talked about how in the past, we look at all that Jesus has done for us and we look at what's to come, but what about what Jesus is doing for you and me right now? This saving us to the uttermost, making intercession for us, carrying us through from then to then, now. He's there with us. And here's a wonderful picture. We've got Psalm 23, you've got the shepherd leading the flock and you've got all that goes on there. But here's a picture of The sheep being carried. Perhaps weary, perhaps injured, but definitely precious, definitely special to the shepherd. Be their shepherd and carry them. For 5 minutes, for an hour, forever, it says, forever. What a picture. Jesus has done everything that is needed for you and for me. We are his inheritance. Bit of a ragbag bunch, but we are his inheritance. Precious to him and getting more precious by the day. Sadly, there are less of us than there once was, but we trust there will be more still to come. Precious, each one, to him who have been saved, are being saved, and will be saved for all eternity. My time is up, but let me just finish by saying, often when you hear a talk about prayer, and I've done it myself, you go out thinking, I've got to pray more. Okay, I've got to pray more. That's what he said this morning. I've got to pray more. I'm not saying that this morning. It would be nice to pray more, of course. But I'm asking that you would consider how you pray rather than how long you pray. Pray with a passion. Pray with a love. Pray with praise. And pray with expectation and wonder, as we heard last week. Childlike wonder at what God can do. We are so sophisticated in the 21st century. I think we've got the answers for everything. I think we even know more than God. That can't be right. Let's leave room for God to do things his way. Doesn't have to do it just the way we would like. But let us cry out. Let's call to the Lord. When this post-lockdown finally arrives, I've suggested already, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say publicly, but I think probably the best thing, first thing we should do is have prayer meeting. Prayer meetings. Yeah, it's all right to have coffee, that would be nice, to meet together and chat. But I think we do need to be calling upon the Lord, crying out to him in prayer. Crying out to the one who's removed our sins and can remove the sins of others in our world. He's removed that sin so that we can be heard. And that the Lord will respond. Let's praise the Lord in lean or plenty. There's always things to thank him for. Let's develop that sort of relationship that trusts his timing and his power. You may have a friend, for example, and you say, oh, we'll meet down Southend Seafront at 3:30. But you know your friend so well, they're always late. So when it's 3:35, you're not panicking because you just know them and you just know they'll be late. God is never late, of course, but as we get to know him more, we'll understand he's got bigger plans, his timings, his power. Sometimes we think, oh, it's gone too far. You know, God can't do anything more in this situation. Nonsense. He created us. He made us. Knit us together. He can do all and more than we even imagine or think. All for his glory. His glory alone. Amen. And so, Lord, as we express our thanks in that song from our hearts, just seal your word now in our hearts and help us this week to find that time to seek your face in prayer, to cry to you in our needs, to receive from you, because we demonstrate that childlike faith. Lord, again, to begin to wonder at what you want to do in our community. Perhaps others have said, oh, it's too hard, it's all over, it's finished. But Lord, you are the one who gives daily grace. You are the one who revives, renews. You are the one who transforms and changes. And so, Lord, our hope is in you and what you can do. So humbly we present ourselves afresh to you. We pray for one another, left and right, front and behind us. We ask, Lord, for your touch. And as we go out from this place into the sunshine and the warmth of the day, may the warmth of your love warm our hearts as we live out our lives for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.